Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today to share the Dharma together. As I'm sure you know, that Taisho is not something to be analyzed or considered. Just sit up straight. Let it flow through you like a river. If you need to change your posture during the Taisho, you're perfectly welcome to do so, but do it quietly and unobtrusively, and however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. How do we relate to the world? In the usual way of things, we might say through the senses. We see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And all those sensations come together to form our reality. We use that sensory input to construct our world and ourselves. And in all that, we have to include the sensations of thought, and maybe even the sense of linear time. I don't know that we have specific organs for that, but certainly the brain or the mind counts. We take that great mass of information and make of it not just the world, but the universe. We make the universe from the very beginning. All beings, all that breathes and does not breathe. When you think about it, that's pretty darn impressive. It is our practice, however, to work to see clearly the true nature of this amazing creation. And when you do see its true nature, what then? Today we will look at case number 88 in the Bianlu, the Blue Cliff Record, or in Japanese, the Hekigan Roku. Xuan Sha's Man of Three Disabilities. Xuan Sha said to the assembly, "The masters are always talking about the necessity of delivering people and benefiting sentient beings. Supposing you met up with someone who is deaf, mute, and blind, how would you guide him? Being blind, he couldn't see your gestures. Being deaf, he couldn't hear your words. And being mute, he couldn't speak even if you wanted him to. How would you guide him? If you couldn't guide him, the Buddha's Dharma could not benefit him." A monk asked Yun Men for his instruction on this. Yun Men said, "Make your bows." The monk did so. Yun Men poked at him with his staff. The monk drew back. Yun Men said, "You are not blind." Then Yun Men said, "Come closer." The monk approached Yun Men, who said, "You are not deaf." Next, Yun Men said, "Do you understand?" The monk replied, "No, I do not understand." Yun Men said, "You are not mute." At this, the monk had an insight. And Shuido's verse. Blind, deaf, mute, soundless, without any adjustments to potentialities. In the heavens, on earth, laughable, lamentable. Li Lu can't discern true form. How can Shi Guang recognize the mystic tune? How can this compare to sitting alone beneath an empty window? The leaves fall, the flowers bloom, each in its own time. Again, Shui Do said, "Do you understand or not?" An iron hammerhead with no hole. Xuan Sha, whose dates are 834 to 908, the Common Era, and Yun Mim, whose dates are 864 to 949, were in fact Dharma brothers, heirs of Shui Feng, and therefore Dharma grandchildren of De Shan, although Xuan Sha was some 30 years older than Yun Mim. This case is not an uncommon instance of two teachers double-teaming to present the Dharma. Xuan Sha said to the assembly, "The masters are always talking about the necessity of delivering people and benefiting sentient beings. Supposing you met up with someone who is deaf, mute, and blind, how would you guide him? Being blind, he couldn't see your gestures. Being deaf, he couldn't hear your words. And being mute, he couldn't speak even if you wanted him to. How would you guide him? If you couldn't guide him, the Buddha's Dharma could not benefit him." Xuan Sha presents us with a conundrum. How do you deal with one who neither sees, nor hears, nor speaks? I expect we've all seen those little statues of the three wise monkeys. See no evil covers his eyes. Hear no evil covers his ears. Speak no evil covers his mouth. Is that what we encounter here? What is it to be blind, deaf, and mute? What is it to see, hear, touch, taste, smell, or even think? The six sense organs are the gateways through which we perceive the world. It is how we look at things outside of ourselves. Sensory contact is the interaction between self and other. Then there are the emotional, physical, mental reactions to that sensory contact, which leads to desire on the one hand and to aversion on the other. If this all sounds familiar, it's because they are all parts of samsara, steps in the endless round of birth and death. And what about speaking? A volitional action that comes out of ignorance, another manifestation of samsara. And yet, Sungtsan says in his verse on the faith mind, "For as it is whole and complete, this sense world is enlightenment." Kapla Roshi once said, "What is it that cannot be seen, heard, or touched, yet without the senses cannot be known?" All phenomena arise in mind. All phenomena are mind. How can they be all that different? Blind, deaf, and mute. Are these always disabilities? There is more than one kind of blindness. There is the simple blindness of not being able to see. Then there is the blindness of what we might call ordinary perception, ordinary seeing and hearing. And this can include ordinary speech and actions. I see this. I hear that. I say or do the other. Everything is in reference to I, to self versus other, to distinctions of large, small, good, bad, man, woman, and all the rest of it. The distinctions between seeing, hearing, or touching, or speaking are just as arbitrary. It is just as much a trap as saying that this is good, this is bad, this is self, this is other. The second kind of blindness that we often call seeing or hearing is brought up in case number 42 of the Blue Cliff Record. When Layman Pong took leave of Yao Shan, the latter asked 10 Zen students to escort him to the temple gate to bid him farewell. The layman, pointing to the falling snowflakes, said, "Beautiful snowflakes, they fall nowhere." Then one of the Zen students, named Chuan, a practitioner of Zen, asked, "Then where do they fall?" The layman slapped him. Chuan said, "Even a layman shouldn't be so crude." The layman said, "Though you call yourself a Zen student, old Yama, that's the Lord of the Dead, won't let go of you." Chuan said, "What about you?" Again, the layman slapped him and said, "You look, but you are blind. You speak, but you are mute. You look, but you are blind. You speak, but you are mute." The layman chastises the monk for his blindness. As long as what we see, hear, speak is in reference to the self, the I, me, and mind, we do not yet truly speak or hear or see. A monk asked Yun Min for his instruction on this. Yun Min said, "Make your bows." The monk did so. Yun Min poked at him with his staff. The monk drew back. Yun Min said, "You are not blind." Then Yun Min said, "Come closer." The monk approached Yun Min, who said, "You are not deaf." Next, Yun Min said, "Do you understand?" The monk replied, "No, I do not understand." Yun Min said, "You are not mute." At this, the monk had an insight. This monk sees but is not blind, hears but is not deaf, speaks but is not mute. He is caught in the second blindness, the blindness of self and other. There is a third blindness, a marvelous blindness, a way of seeing that goes far beyond the world's dust. Seeing clearly the great reality without filters, judgments, preconceptions, expectations, no reference point, nowhere to stand. To become blind in this way is to no longer see with just the eyes. To become deaf is to no longer hear with just the ears. To become mute is no longer to speak with just the lips and tongue. In seeing only with eyes, hearing only with ears, speaking only with the tongue, we are reacting from the I, me, mine, ego self. We are living in the six-sided box of the senses. It's so ingrained in us that we are not even aware of it most of the time. But the six senses can be a door to liberation or the walls of a prison. Does our true nature limit seeing to eyes, hearing to ears, speaking to tongue? When Dongshan was with Yunyan, he composed a gatha which he presented to his teacher. Marvelous, how marvelous! The Dharma expounded by non-sentient beings is inconceivable. Listening with your ears, no sound. Hearing with your eyes, you directly understand. And Dogen writes in the Genjo Koan, "Seeing forms with the whole body and mind, hearing sounds with the whole body and mind, one understands them intimately." The Buddha said, "If one tries to see me through form and color, he is going the wrong way. He cannot see the Tathagata." In order to see the Tathagata, one must be blind. To hear the Tathagata, one must be deaf. To speak the Tathagata's words, one must be mute. If there is no self, no one to see and nothing seen, is there really any such thing as seeing? Or hearing, for that matter, or taste, or touch, or smell? If there is no one to speak, is there any such thing as speaking? What level of awareness is this? If there is no one to be aware and nothing to be aware of, is there any such thing as awareness? Now, everyone, please close your eyes for a while. No peeking. Now, I'm going to show you a bell. Don't look. Don't even listen. Just open your heart mind. Let the bell enter you. Let it pass the gates of your senses. Let it go beyond notions of sight and sound. Let it go to that place where there is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. The place where it is just. How tall is it? How wide? What does it weigh? Is it loud, soft, big, small, high or low? Do you see how these notions, these mental machinations, get between you and the reality? If you are truly blind and deaf, you will know this bell intimately. But if you are still trying to separate the six senses, you are caught in that six-sided box. Let sound enter you and go beyond hearing. Let light and dark enter you. Go beyond seeing light and dark. Let touch, taste, smell, and even thoughts enter you and go beyond touching, tasting, smelling, or even thinking. Let it all pass the filters. Don't use notions of sight and sound to shield you from the great reality. This is not so easy. One must be willing to become utterly vulnerable and open. One must be willing to be a candle in the wind. Xiangyan tended a grave. One day he was sweeping the walk and a pebble struck a stalk of bamboo. Thump! Did he hear something? Did he see something? Did he smell or taste or touch something? It was just tough. You can open your eyes now. Yunnan told the monk, "You are not blind. You are not deaf. You are not mute." These are not compliments. We are told the monk had an insight. One hopes his insight was into his own attachments to the six senses. Maybe this encounter with Yunnan led him on to deeper practice and realization. How does the blind, deaf, and mute person function in the world of time, space, and karma? Xuanzha asks us, how would you guide him? If you couldn't guide him, the Buddha's Dharma could not benefit him. How do we help such a person? Or do we? Does such a person need our help or that of anyone's help in any way, even the Buddha's? When we meet someone, what do we see or hear? To whom do we speak? We say that we must go beyond words and phrases. The problem is we go way beyond what we see, hear, touch, or even say. We go away from the reality into gaga land, the virtual reality of our ego mind. It's called putting a head on top of the one you already have. The 10,000 dharmas come forth, not as objects as we normally think of them, but each one, each article, each particle, each atom is beyond any notion of form and color. To give it form and history is fine. We assemble and create out of the emptiness the universe, all that breathes and does not breathe. But every single thing is smoke in the wind. If we live with that realization, we live as one with three disabilities. Our practice is to perceive reality directly, without filters, assumptions, or even what we think of as experience or knowledge. And Shui Do's verse. As is my habit, I'll read it and make line-by-line comments. One note about the verse. Li Lu was a man famous for his eagle eye, and Shi Guang had incredibly sensitive hearing. Blind, deaf, mute. Comment. How wonderful. Soundless, without any adjustments to potentialities. Comment. Prior to sights and sounds, yet perfectly clear. In the heavens, on earth, comment, no boundaries. Laughable, lamentable, comment, stop analyzing. Li Lu can't discern true form. Comment, blind, his eye is of no use, he cannot see the Tathagata. How can Shi Guang recognize the mystic tune? Comment. Deaf. He cannot hear the noble voice. How can this compare to sitting alone beneath an empty window? Comment. Empty. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. The leaves fall, the flowers bloom, each in its own time. Comment. This is marvelous functioning. Again, Shui Do said, do you understand or not? Comment. Don't say yes, don't say no. Speak, speak. An iron hammerhead with no hole. Comment. Impossible, yet it is already accomplished. Yan Wu, in his commentary on this case, writes, if you get to this realm, though you see, it's not like seeing. Though you hear, it's not like hearing. Though you speak, it's not like speaking. When hungry, you eat. When tired, you sleep. You let the leaves fall and the flowers bloom. When the leaves fall, it's autumn. When the flowers bloom, it's spring. Each has its own time and season. To practice with this physical body in time and space is the best we can do. And yet, the more we let go, the more we practice dana and relinquish that ego self, the closer we get to no seeing, no hearing, no speaking. Together with all beings, we realize the way.